This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. This is episode 51 of the True Voice Media Podcast, and I am here with another fabulous guest ready to drop some knowledge bombs all up on you. Ivy Slater is joining me today on the line. Ivy, do me a favor for all the people listening who do not know who you are yet. First of all, shame on them. Second of all, introduce yourself to them.
Hello, I am Ivy Slater. My company is Slater Success Coaching, and I am sharing information from New York City. Happy to be here on this beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day, though I'm not broadcasting from my roof deck or any outdoor area. I'm locked in a room for the best sound quality. The sacrifices we make for our audience, you know?
I know when we're done, we're both going to hit the streets.
Yeah.
Outside.
Well, hit the streets.
I'll hit mine.
Hit the streets makes it sound like very salacious. I feel like it's more like we're going to walk outdoors, take in a breath of fresh air, and probably get back to work. Because you're an entrepreneur as well, correct?
Yes, I am.
And
Slater Success Coaching was born in 2008, and before that, I had a different company. I had a printing company in New York City for close to 20 years.
That's right. That is a male-dominated industry traditionally, is it not?
Oh, yes, it is. The women, especially, you know, I got into printing in the late 80s, and the women in the printing industry is 80s, 90s, and I was in it through 2010. Were predominantly receptionists and bookkeepers. And then there was me, the woman who didn't quite fit in.
Yep. So I think, you know, one, I'm just really glad to have you on the show because as I think we talked about prior to getting on the call and everything, a lot of the audience of the True Voice Media podcast are women entrepreneurs, a lot of solopreneurs and small business owners. And, you know, we have a couple larger businesses that listen as well, you know, based on the conversations I've had with listeners. But a lot of them were in similar positions, are in similar positions now to what you were at that stage in your career, where they're really trying to figure out that balance between being proactive and assertive in their business and confronting the issues what may happen in an industry that may be traditionally dominated by men. And it's a lot different now than it was, I'd imagine, in the late 80s. Now, mind you, in the late 80s, I was but a wee boy. But I'd imagine that the issues are a lot different. So what are some of the things that you've learned along the way that just something that you see right now that you can impart to these listeners to make them feel like it's worth listening to the rest of the episode to soak up your knowledge?
I think something I learned when I started selling printing, and it's just stuck with me, and it's been one of the biggest lessons in being a business owner. When I went out to sell printing, I was a rarity. A woman on the street. I had my suit on, my stockings, my 2-inch pumps, and I got out and I, you know, strolled Manhattan, went to create relationships, get contacts, sell some business, and every door was slammed in my face. People didn't want to meet with me. People didn't want to. One time I landed a meeting. I don't think they realized Ivy was a female. They, you know, and I said, it, you know, Ivy Slater. They're like, oh, okay, Miss Slater, you know, Miss Slater, got it. You know, and they put me in. And I, in the receptionist area, and I F for Mr. Smith, we'll call him. His secretary comes out and she looks around the reception area and she goes, Mr. Slater? And I was like, oh, Ivy Slater, that's me. Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. And she goes, you're, you know, Mr. Slater? I said, no, I'm Ivy Slater. And she's like, hold on a second, let me just, you know, confirm with Mrs. Smith one more second. So she comes back out and she goes, I'm so sorry, Mr. Smith got called into a meeting.
Wow.
We'll have to reschedule.
Wow.
And I said, oh, do you have his calendar handy? Let's do that while I'm here. She goes, oh, no, you'll have to call and do that.
Oh, my God. I'm offended on your behalf.
And, you know, and that was just the world at that time. But, you know, the lesson here is not no. No to me is. And if I was going to stop them, I would have continued to stop on everything that didn't work out perfectly in my life, in my business. And it's just not who I am. And I just, people said to me, like, how will you, you know, keep going? What drives you? And I'm like, there's no fancy thing that drives me. I was young, I was newly married, and I needed to figure out a way to pay the rent.
Yep.
You know, we needed two working incomes living in New York City.
Yep.
So it was just not, stopping wasn't an option. It was just like, okay, what am I going to do next? Where could I show up next? What could I try next?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much being hungry can do that.
Exactly. And that's just the attitude I've showed up with business building with is, okay, well, that didn't work. What's next?
Yep.
And I think it's one of the greatest lessons an entrepreneur can embrace. Don't get caught up with not working. Show up every day and say, great, what can I do today? Today I can. And pick something and just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice. Keep moving forward. So you've started Slater Success Coaching. I'd imagine a lot of what you do with a name like Success Coaching is really coaching small businesses and women entrepreneurs to success. And I'd imagine a lot of that hinges on the experience you've had and the things that you've discovered over your years as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. So when I look at that, as what I'm really, I think, you know, between you and I and this community, what I really do is I help other businesses navigate their successes based on everything I've done wrong over 25 plus years. So if we could take all the mistakes I've made, which I don't believe there are mistakes, I just think they're learning curves. Okay. If we could add all those up and I can help guide somebody else to navigate their path forward, business, and bring that into their life, that is the greatest gift I have to offer today. We've all had errors in our ways. I've done some great things. I've done some disastrous things. I've made tons of money. I've lost tons of money. Does it stop you or not? How do you navigate through it? You know, I have two basically kind of grown kids now. I became a business owner when my daughter was a little over 1 year old for the very first time. She's now 24. My younger one's turning 21 this month. How do you not just own a business, but how do you own a business and have a life? I think that's an important component for women entrepreneurs. I wasn't ready to choose one over the other. I wanted both, and I believe it's possible.
So what are some of the things that you work on with clients as a starting point? Because I want to dig into that as sort of our starting point and then let that kind of guide our conversation and steer it towards, you know, really how that overlaps with what you're seeing in their struggles and how it overlaps with digital. So what are some of your starting points with some of your clients?
My starting points truly is, it's very fancy, it's very complicated, okay? So bear in mind, I want a client to dig down and understand and identify what they want in their life first. What kind of life are you creating for yourself? Are you desiring to live? How is the business you're going to build work in that life? Because we could build a business, but if we build a business that then you're miserable in, the business will fail. So I truly believe the first step to doing it is identify what you want in your life. Then identify the goal in the business to achieve that. Okay? So part of that goal is there should be a numbers goal. There should be, do I want a home? Do I want a car? Do I want to travel? What do you want? What are you working towards? When we have that lifestyle, we can create a financial plan to achieve the lifestyle, and then we can create the business strategy to achieve the financial plan.
Okay, so basically we start with goals. Very, you know, classic kind of consulting model, start with the goals and we work backwards from there. In terms of your process around it. You know, you're talking about the life you want and building your business to kind of fit that. In terms of the starting points for you, are you generally looking at the financial side of the business, kind of the nuts and bolts, accounting, operations, finance, or are you looking more at the marketing, sales, image, branding, and messaging?
What's interesting is I do, I start with a financial point of view. Okay, we need to have the number strategy. You need to have a financial strategy. That financial strategy, now understand, I am not an accountant. I never was an accountant. I don't have a degree in I don't have a degree in accounting. I don't have a degree in business. I have a degree in dance, which is, you know, you might have your listeners running right now, but truly I have a degree in dance and a degree in communication. But 20 years of owning a printing company, here's what I learned is you have to start with knowing your numbers. You have to start looking at those numbers all the time, every day, embrace it. So as I said, I was a dancer. I wasn't the person who had the Excel spreadsheets, and when I started in it, there was no Excel, believe me. One thing I did learn early on was that you could actually do a financial report by, when I was a kid and my dad was a business owner, you know, he taught me, if you can't pull out a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle and know where your business is at the end of the day by just looking at your numbers, you're not a business owner. So what I do is I really simplify the way I look at numbers. And I make it joyful and fun.
Whoa. How do you make numbers? Because, okay, let's stop right there for a second. How do you make knowing your numbers joyful and fun? I'm not even asking for my listeners right now. Because, quite honestly, this part right here is for me. How do you make looking at numbers joyful and fun?
Because my accountant works in QuickBooks. Their bookkeepers works in QuickBooks. I work on fun pieces of paper. I track things through post-it note systems, I have something called a money speedometer that I play with every day. I work my expenses through something I devise that's called a stoplight system, red, yellow, and green. Guess what green is? My money. I want to work towards green. It works.
Got it.
It's funny. I mean, I'm sitting here and I smile and I almost laugh. But it's truly, when you actually look at my speedometer, which is the money that comes into my business every day, it has a goal on it every month. I started one on June 1st again. I created my June goal financially based on my business strategy plan that goes back to marketing and sales, which is much more of my sweet spot, by the way. And now today is the 10th. I have 10 days of tracking my income. My stoplight system, my overhead system, I did at the beginning of the year. Every time I do something big or change that up, I'll shift that up. So I did a major event in May. So I adjusted my stoplight for the event. I now know, with a blink of an eye, gee, I'm on track to hit my numbers per the 10th based on where my numbers are today. Well, maybe I'm not on track. So what am I going to do for the next 20 days in June, marketing and sales, to make that work?
All right, well, let's dig in onto that. You said marketing and sales is your sweet spot. So we've got the background now. I think for the people listening, we get, you've got the coaching. You're there for to help your clients find success. We start with the goals, the lifestyle you want. You've got the background in printing, primarily working with women entrepreneurs. Let's talk about how you're marketing and selling yourself and positioning yourself so that you can find these clients and some of the things that you found as success that you've passed on to your clients. So let's start here. How do you find your clients?
I find my clients several ways, okay? So I do a lot of online work and offline work. You know, when I recently at this event, and I spent probably 2.5 hours I taught marketing at the event. And when the way I break down marketing into online and offline marketing, and I believe there's a combination of both. You want to create visibility. Visibility for your brand and for you. Sometimes we are our brand, depending upon the size of the business and the positioning of the business. So how do you create the visibility? Are you participating in online marketing? What would that look like for your company? What are the best strategies for you in online? I think the best strategy when you use online marketing is using online with offline. Personal touch points, building relationships. I get out and network regularly, and then I connect with these people online. Then they become my followers, and then they see, oh, wow, Ivy's hosting a webinar. And then they might see me at the next networking event, and I might say, hey, anybody wants to check out our webinar going on, you know, on July, whatever it is, right? I might grab a date, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I saw that online. Oh, great. Offline and online is a marriage. I like both components. I like the relationship between online and offline for a strategy and visibility and marketing.
So when you say offline, the example you just gave was about networking events, meeting people in person, face-to-face stuff. Do you also include things like television, print, radio, and other offline tactics, direct mail, billboards, etc.? Or are you mainly talking about getting out from behind the computer and, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies? You know, what exactly do you mean by the marriage of offline and online for you and your clients?
Okay, so again, I could talk about me and my clients, and then I could talk about my company as well as my clients.
Well, let's talk about you for now.
Businesses have different models. So Ivy is probably not going to take out a television ad on NBC for $1.something million. Okay, probably not my marketing category. I would do direct mail, though. I strongly believe in direct mail. Direct mail is an amazing resource. And remember, I said I was a printer for 20 years, so maybe this is loyalty factor, but I think there's more to it. If you look at your inbox and you see how much mail you get a day, it's in the hundreds for most people, especially if we add in J. Crew and Gap and Old Navy and Banana Republic.
Do you mean email or mail?
Email.
Do you mean? Okay.
Emails. How many pieces of mail come into your inbox every day?
Into mine, thousands.
Many of us get more than, right, at thousands. So we're a conservative in hundreds, right, Jeff?
Yo, definitely.
Okay. How many people, when you go to check your mailbox, do you get more than maybe 10 or 12 pieces of mail a day?
No, thankfully, because most of the things that come in my mail are bills, and I'm really happy that I don't get any more mail.
So if we look at playing with numbers, right, in the game of numbers, where am I going to be more noticed? In the inbox or in the mailbox? So I add in direct mail.
Interesting. One of my, and you might appreciate this as a former printer, but one of my approaches to direct mail, and I've said this for quite a while, and it's similar to what you've just said. There's actually a funny cartoon about it where in like 1990, we would get excited when we got an email and we would be pissed off when we got mail, and now it's the other way around. But I've said for clients a couple times now that I think because the cost of distribution on the internet is virtually nothing, email has become such a popular option, so is social media, that people have stopped sending so much direct mail, so there's a lot less competition out there, to your point. And I think that actually opens up an opportunity not to send something like a postcard or some sort of mass distributed direct mail, but instead to highly target a small group of potential customers and send them something really truly special that they wouldn't want to throw out.
I love that. And it truly does work, and it's worked. I did that with a client a couple of years ago, where we targeted probably about 20 people on their list, and every month she sent them a little something to let them know with a handwritten note. Mail is another great thing to do. You know, you meet somebody you want to do business with, dropping them a thank you note, a personalized note. If something special helps you stand out, they will notice it versus the email thank you note.
I 100% agree. Actually, on my desk right now is a thank you note from someone for a speaking engagement that I did, and I cannot possibly throw it away. My issue with sending them myself is that because of all of the computer and smartphone usage, my handwriting has become pure garbage after about two sentences. So I have to really focus my handwriting after two sentences.
You know what? So what can you say in two sentences?
Probably about as much as a tweet.
And that's probably all it needs to be.
Yeah. So maybe I can pay attention for one additional sentence if I really need to. But yeah, point is well taken. So online and offline is one of your big methods that you use. In terms of how you're driving people to your website, you're building awareness outside of just, you know, networking events and things. What sort of digital tactics are you using to help increase your web footprint, to build your network, to build awareness? What are some of the things that you're doing in your business?
I do a couple of things. We definitely do some ads. We do Facebook ads, especially when we have something. We're coming out with some new lead magnets later this month, so we're going to be doing a Facebook ad campaign for that. Right, and that's driving people to our list. So what we're doing, and you guys are the first to hear about it because it's not even finished. We have decided we want to know what's resonating most. We're test marketing my community. Right? The people who are interested in knowing more about Ivy. So we created three different lead magnets, and we're testing marketing to see which one gets the best traction out there. That gives me information on some of the marketing we're going to create in the next 6 months. I'm working 3 to 6 months ahead. So June, we're using as the end of June right now, we're using as an opportunity to test market what people want to hear from me. Who are my people? What are they responding to? So we use Facebook ads. Another thing is I do a lot of presentations, I speak to a lot of different communities. I drive people to my list that way. At the end of every presentation, I offer up a free report. I might share it with you guys today so you could actually see the strategy in action.
Cool.
I'm
going
to invite them to, you're very welcome. I'm going to invite them to my free report. I was like, guys, we covered this, this, and this today in the last 20 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever the presentation was. I have something that's going to recap this and give you some detailed information on. Everybody, please pass up your business card, right? And I'm going to send you this recap, or I might send them a webinar. I might send them something. All of a sudden, it's like, oh. And I'll say that at the very beginning of the speech. It's, guys, I know you're very into taking notes. Don't worry about it. I'm going to recap the highlights, and I'm going to send you a PDF document that you'll be able to use at the conclusion of this. Oh, great. Why? Now they're listening and they're engaged. And I want this very interactive. We're going to do a lot of Q&A, and I want you guys participating. It puts down their pen and paper. It increases engagement with me, which means now they're learning more, they're more engaged, we're building a stronger relationship between the audience and myself as a speaker. Then I have them, okay, so in order for me to send you this information, I need everybody's business cards. You don't have a business card, we have some forms on the side, my team would hand them out. I'm now gonna telling them I'm sending them something. Maybe I'll send them the first chapter of a book that I have. I have a book that's called Conquer Your Fear of Money, A Woman's Guide to Business Success. So I'm going to send you digitally chapter one to give you insight in starting to plan X, Y, and Z in your business. I now pick up 20 cards, 50 cards, 100, 200, depending upon the size of the audience. I then send them the information, and I put into a drip system, usually a 3-email campaign drip, that's going to drive them to make sure they're taking action on that information. I will also invite them to more intimate contact with me, maybe a call with myself or one of my team members. By doing that, now we're moving them along the sales funnel for better interaction with me and also into that pipeline.
Hey everyone, my apologies for the interruption, but I need to pause real quick just to thank our sponsors and partners who make this show possible. Today, I want to point out a partner of ours. It's a piece of software that we use called Contactually. Contactually is a CRM, and I know that when most people hear the word CRM, they let out a collective groan, because if they're a marketer or a salesperson, they probably have these painful memories of multiple months of setting up, reporting issues, unintuitive interfaces, just awful experiences. And realistically, most salespeople just want to be able to visualize their pipeline and keep in touch with the people who matter and who are important. How hard should that really be? But I'll tell you, when I think of CRM, I actually think of something different.
because I'm staying top of mind with my network and I'm keeping in touch with my prospects. And when I meet someone at an event, I'm going to have a wealth of information about them and an email in their inbox by the next morning. How do I do it? Contactually. Contactually is a CRM that is designed to maintain relationships and close deals. I can personally tell you that it has been wonderful for our business. For small businesses and individual salespeople, Contactually is the CRM you've been waiting for. It took me about 3 to 5 hours to set it up initially, and after that, I was keeping in touch with about 30 to 50 more people per week, and no, I am not exaggerating. So if you don't have a CRM or you're unhappy with your current CRM, try Contactually, totally risk-free for 30 days. If you hate it, you've lost nothing. But if you love it, trust me when I tell you that it pays for itself faster than you can believe. Learn more and try it for free by visiting truevoicemedia.com/CRM.
So you said you ran Facebook ads. Can you tell me a little bit about what kind of Facebook ads you're running and if you're doing anything with custom audiences or retargeting or anything like that?
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing I know is you really need to pay attention to your Facebook ads. So as the owner of the company, I don't do that. Okay, I make sure I have somebody who's doing that for me because that is driving people into my sales tunnel, but it's not closing the sale. So I want to be really conscious in time management and priorities. So I believe that's something that's really great to be delegated to a professional who really has their eye on the ball, who's always looking at it several times a day, see what people are responding, retargeting, et cetera. So I'll give you as much information as I have. Yes, we look at people who we retarget other communities that we believe my ideal clients are already hanging out in.
Okay.
We create an avatar. Who are my people? Okay. Are my people over 30, over 40, over 50? Where am I? Are they moms? Are they, do they live in cities? Do they live in the, who are my people? Where, what brands do they shop?
Mm-hmm.
We fully create an avatar. And I really have a picture of my ideal woman, who my ideal client is.
Yep. I actually have the same sort of thing in my office.
She is. Do you have a name of yours?
Yeah, I have to find where I put the actual frame. I think her name's Melissa. I forget her last name. But there's a picture of her. There's, you know, there's what she says in her head about her role and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, I've created a very specific persona as well. I know what's going on in her world. And it was funny that you mentioned it because, I've been in business since 2011 and it wasn't until midway through last year, I think it was, that one of my advisors, very good friend of mine, also a digital marketer, essentially came in and you know, put me through my own system, essentially, because you obviously, you know, it's very difficult to consult yourself and the cobbler's children have no shoes. Yeah. And all of that. And he actually put me through the whole process of identifying our persona and, you know, what are their concerns. And then he read my website back to me and I just hung my head in shame. I was like, oh, so I've been writing a website for myself, huh? So we quickly made those shifts. But I want to ask you about something else that kind of came out of what you just said about delegating that to other people. So again, the people that listen to this show are oftentimes small business owners, you know, a lot of women entrepreneurs, and I think they get stuck in chasing their tail of trying to do everything and you know, really feeling like the chief cook and bottle washer of the company. And I guess the question is, since you work with a lot of those people, what is your advice on how to get yourself out of that and begin to delegate some of the tasks so that you can free up that time to do the things that you're really best suited to do?
Bear in mind, I came from a printing world, right? So I came from running a staff and a team. And when I opened Slate of Success, I was like, oh my goodness, do I do everything? And I immediately like, well, I have to do everything because this business isn't making money my old business made, and it's my responsibility to do everything. And I drove that bus for a few years, and I didn't get very far driving it. I ended up driving myself in circles with no destination. when I went back to my old what I knew and said, okay, take a piece of paper and write down what is Ivy good at. Take that, the other half of the piece of paper, you know, draw that line down the middle or fold it in half system and write what I'm not good at. Okay? I struggle with technology. Why in the world would I be the one doing Facebook ads?
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't make sense. What I know I'm good at is sales. Well, I know if I could add another 2 hours a day in sales conversations, that's 10 calls a week. Instead of doing the technology, can I make enough money to pay somebody to do the technology piece? Yes. So why wouldn't I do that?
Yep. So you're making me think about my whole process right now.
Okay, why?
So because, small business owner to small business owner, you know, it's, and like many of your clients, everybody's good at something, right? Everybody brings something to the table that they are awesome at or that they're really more comfortable in or whatever it might be. And you're laying out the case that you're not great with technology. So why should you do the Facebook ads when you could spend that time instead making sales calls? And I am quite good at technology and I can set up Facebook ads, but I also am great at sales. So in a similar way, but slightly different, I'm looking at it not in terms of I'm better at this and not as good at that or whatever, but more like where is my time more valuable, which is where I think the real piece of it is where is my time more valuable? And I think the answer is my time is more valuable having conversations in sales than setting up Facebook ads, which I can teach someone how to do.
Exactly.
Or hire
you
someone.
You know what? I'm pretty good with running the numbers in my business. Okay, I could sit and do my QuickBooks if I wanted to. My time is better spent creating the marketing activities and doing sales and doing client fulfillment. This is where I'm going to make money. So although I can run my numbers and do my QuickBooks, I'd rather just keep my simple, fun systems and actually have somebody else do the back-end technical stuff on the financial side, because that keeps my business consistently moving forward. You know, not to say, and I'm going to be really clear on this, just because you might be delegating something doesn't mean you aren't supposed to know anything about it.
Yep.
So I don't do my Facebook ads. I'm not the strongest in digital marketing and advertising in that way. I have to have enough knowledge to make the decisions. I am the CEO of this company. How much are we spending on this campaign? I shared with you, we're going to be doing a new marketing where we're test marketing 3 different lead magnets, seeing what's being responded to right now. Okay. My decision as a CEO, how much money we're investing in that. I want to know what they're doing. That doesn't mean I have to do it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely makes perfect sense. So that actually leads me to something that I know that you have a wealth of knowledge on, and I'd like us to just dig into a little bit here. I know that we both have a hard stop coming up soon, but I wanted to spend our remaining time talking a little bit about your idea of return on initiative.
Yeah.
And you have listed that there's 5 steps to saving time and money in your business. And I was hoping you could share maybe 2 of those with the audience. And if they'd like to get the final 3, we'll put the link in the show notes so that they can go and find that. But could you possibly run through, say, 2 of those, maybe your favorite 2 or the 2 most impactful or whatever?
You know what? I'm going to do – I will pick 2. I think – online marketing should be combined with offline marketing. So let's go back and talk about networking. Are you actually getting out from behind your computer? Solopreneurs is a very, very lonely existence. Are you getting out and interacting with people? Are you building your brand visibility? I think networking, I started building Slater Success in 2008, and the first thing I did is I started my own networking group. I had no idea what I was doing. I just said, you know what? I need to start meeting people. People need to start knowing what I'm doing. How am I going to do that? Well, I went out and I got involved. And when I teach networking, I teach it very much in the sense of going out and going shopping. There are all kinds of stores in New York City, okay, and usually all over this country. There are all types of places to find a black dress. There's black dresses at Macy's, at H&M, at Zara. There's black dresses at TJ Maxx and Marshalls. There's also black dresses at Saks, at Neiman Marcus, Chanel, and Armani. We have the gamut of black dresses. Until you get out and actually start looking at them and trying them on, you don't know which is the right community for you, which is the right dress for you. Where are your people? When you start building a business, get out and start exploring what it's about. Get out and start meeting people at networking. Are you going to go to women's networking groups? Are you going to go to co-ed networking groups? Are you a person who goes to a lot of breakfast groups? Do you like groups that are much more B&I focused, which has a real structure to it? Do you want to go to a cocktail hour? Where are your people? You have to get out and shop it and find that. I think one of the biggest keys to building a great business is using what I was talking about is offline with online. Get out and network. That's one of my key things. I think that is how I made my first definite $100,000 year to $150,000 year was as just networking before I even added in as a speaker and continued to grow this business.
Got it. Okay. So networking, get out from behind the computer. Step one.
Step two is in correlation with step one. So out of all the steps, I'm going to give you two things that fit together.
Cool.
You've got to do the follow-up. You can't just get out there and kiss some babies and shake some hands. If people don't know you and get to know you, you're wasting your time by even getting out from behind the computer. If you really create relationships, I got involved in a networking group back in 2009. I still, to this day, even the group has dissolved, see the core group of 8 women regularly. Out of those 8 women over the years has been a stream of clients. One of them is actually still a client. There are referral sources because I developed real relationships. Don't just walk away with a business card and certainly just don't send them a damn email. Great meeting you. Look forward to seeing you soon. No way.
I think that's the big difference between people who are networking and those who are building a network, which I think is a big difference.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Get out and actually talk with people. Follow up, have coffee dates with them. Do virtual coffees. I love a virtual coffee. Get on FaceTime, get on Skype. See the person, get a cup of tea. It's a lovely break at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And actually have a visible conversation, even if you can't do it in person. I network across this country. I have coffee chats with people over FaceTime, Skype, or whatever it is. And Zoom is another platform I use.
Zoom is becoming really, really big. You know what? Can we just quick talk about where did that come from? Why is that a big thing? How is it different than Skype?
A couple of reasons it's different from Skype. Let me just break them down. Okay, one of the reasons I have to tell you the connections are better.
Okay.
You know, Jeff, we and I have struggled with connection a little bit today.
Yeah, we have. It's been a bit spotty today.
Connections are stronger with Zoom. I don't know what the wires is. Again, tech isn't my thing. It's a stronger online connection. Another thing is Zoom is being taught to teach large groups of people. So I will run a live stream through Zoom where I will bring in some people, some guest speakers. I'll bring in some team members to speak about something with me. I'll have some slides. We have interaction. We have a chat going. People are visible. We all of a sudden have an online classroom. And there's an excitement, a momentum. And because the actual technology is better than Skype, it has been running really well.
Got it.
The other thing I actually use Zoom for is I'll jump on, I just did this the other day. I was helping a client develop some systems and processes in their business during a call. And I said, you know what, let's jump onto Zoom. I want to see what you have going on in your computer and how you're using it. So we can screen share. So I might have something that I want to show them that in my toolbox. So instead of just emailing them and trying to walk them through it, we'll go on to Zoom. I'll screen share and I'll walk them through it. They might be working something in their business. I want to see what's going on. We'll screen share. Using slide deck and then also having the interaction of a camera to teach with and people actually seeing what I'm talking about, having that interaction of questions is bringing a much more personal development in building relationships.
Got it. I actually had a call with a client this morning where I was having her watch my screen using Join Me.
Yeah.
And it would have been very helpful to be able to swap and see her screen. Of course, she was having some tech problems herself. I was just trying to have her download Google Chrome, and it was like pulling teeth. So Zoom probably, you know, would have been, unless it was on her computer already, probably wouldn't have made much of a difference. But I think the point is well taken. It's something that's come up a couple times. I'm going to have to look into it a little bit more for the virtual coaching thing.
Yeah.
So good.
I really like it.
That's come up a couple times. I'm definitely going to look back into it. Well, I know that we have a hard stop coming up, so I want to shift it over to you and just ask you where people can go and be social with you to learn more about what you're doing and to download this Return on Initiative piece of content that you put together.
Okay. So it's ROI, which is Return on Initiative, 5 steps to more sales and money in your business. You know what? It's simple. It's a quick read. It gives you 5 tips that will only help you. So the biggest thing is to always take resources and don't just leave them in your inbox. Actually create time in your calendar. Take 10 minutes, read through it, 15 minutes. Create your action plans from it. You have questions, reach out. You know, this is the big difference. You know, Jeff, you said you had a friend come over and help you actually do what you teach others for yourself. I have my own coaches because in our own businesses, it's an easy place for us to not take care of ourselves because we're so busy taking care of everybody else.
100%.
So the link is SlaterSuccessCoaching.com/ROI. And that's, again, Return on Your Initiative, 5 steps that lead to more sales and more money for you in your business and your life.
And then where can people go and connect with you? What's your preferred – you say you're not a tech person, but I'm sure you're using some form of social media. What are your preferred channels?
Feel free to reach out to Slater Success Coaching on Facebook. Friend request me, shoot me a message. I might not be the biggest techie, but I am on Facebook every day. I'm also on LinkedIn every day under Ivy Slater. I'm the one in New York, in case you're surprised. I said it several times. Also the one with the printing information. The key is don't stay stuck. There's resources out there. I'm a resource to you. There's other resources out there for you. Give yourself the edge of using resources and creating the time in your calendar to actually implement. That's the key to success for me is consistent action. Find out how to stay in action for you and your business.
Excellent. So for any of the listeners out there who are in a position where you're looking to have some more time and money in your business, you're looking for a resource, definitely go check out Ivy's white paper or piece of content. Set aside the time in your calendar to go through it. And then, you know, if you have additional questions, I'm sure Ivy is always going to be available to chat. I'll put her LinkedIn and her Facebook links in the show notes. And Ivy, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I really appreciate the time, all of the information, and just your insights into, you know, the world of owning a business and how to succeed. So thank you again for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Of course. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. Stay tuned till next week. We'll have more. Take care.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, Visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.